Wow, that was 42 minutes. I just recorded the body of this podcast. Wow. Okay. It's a long podcast and sometimes I talk really slowly, so be sure to play it at 1.5 times speed if you want. But again, you know, as I promised from last podcast, I made the part 2 of Spiritual Warfare. It's pretty good, if I do say so myself. Yabang ko, you know. I did enjoy talking about a lot of spiritual warfare things. The victory is with us in Jesus Christ. And if you haven't gotten the vibe already, this is going to be a very Christian podcast. If this is not your jam, I still encourage you to stay. You might pick up something. If it's really, really not your jam, go ahead and do something else. I don't mind. Come back next week because we're going to have a podcast that's not as Christianese. But if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you want to know more about what's going on in the spiritual war and how you can claim your victory, not just achieve victory because you already have the victory, but to claim your victory, then keep listening. All right, that's it. Super short intro because the whole body of the podcast is almost 43 minutes long. Bye, go enjoy. Good morning. Welcome to my morning voice. What's up? We are going to go through the notes that I have from a spiritual warfare class by a well-known prophet and pastor and missionary from our church, Victory. I can't really disclose her name because she goes to a lot of restricted nations and dangerous places, and we want to protect her identity. But she has been serving the Lord for like 40 plus years, I think. I think she's around 60 years old, if I'm not mistaken. And she is just a legend, you know, when it comes to prophecy, missions, and even spiritual warfare. And her class was called Introduction to Spiritual Warfare. It was taught in March 2019. And here we go, you know. Well, actually, before that, no, I want to make two announcements. First, thank you so much for your feedback. I get your tweets. I get your emails. I know work email ko yun, but yeah, that feedback is very valuable and I really appreciate you guys, you know, to the guys who email me. Thank you very much for your encouraging words. And I even got a couple texts and you guys know who you are, my personal friends. I'm glad this was an encouragement to you. My second announcement is, yun, I'm really just trying to encourage everybody in the Christian community here. I'm not trying to spark any debate. I'm not trying to say anything theologically or doctrinally controversial. And I'm not claiming to be an expert either. I'm really just speaking from my personal experience, speaking from being a pastor's kid and a church kid and just having very personal, you know, interest in topics like this. So I read up a lot. But if there's something here that I'm not completely sure of, I'm gonna let you guys know. And yeah, one house tayo, many rooms, but one house of the Christian community. So, sabi niya, when it comes to spiritual warfare, you know, coming from last week's podcast, where we talked about basically that there is a spiritual war and we have victory. She says that, you know, there are four things that we really need to know before we get into war for us to really have the victory. And the four things are knowing God, knowing yourself, knowing the enemy, and knowing the battleground. It says in Hosea 4 verse 6 that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, meaning when we lack knowledge, when we don't know something, it could actually mean our destruction. And, you know, I'm not saying that you gotta do good works to be saved or to win in the spiritual war. Really, it's knowing God, right? That's the first thing. And if you don't know God, of course you're destroyed in the spiritual warfare, right? So we'll jump into the first point. I am trying not to babble as much because there are 4 points and I have 4 somewhat long pages of notes. Knowing God is the first step to victory, you know, point number one. It takes reading the word, it takes quiet time, it takes journaling, it takes a lot of discipline, and it takes discipleship also. And by discipleship, I mean hanging out with fellow Christians, talking to them about God, not just hanging out with fellow Christians and playing games, but talking to them about your relationship with God, your testimonies, your stories with God, and especially learning from Christians who are wiser and older than you, and also in turn, teaching Christians who are not as experienced siguro in the Christian life as you are. And that's somewhat like mentorship, or your small groups, or D groups, or V groups, or whatever you guys call it, from whatever church you are, that's discipleship. And so through personal time with God, through reading the Word and prayer, lots of prayer, of course, and discipleship, which is spending time with other believers in the context of God's presence, we get to know who God really is. What's so important about knowing God? Knowing God is our foundation and our defensive weapon, not just in spiritual warfare, but in life. Although in this context, spiritual warfare. So when we know God, we know that our God is a victorious King, right? The God that we serve has won the victory. And even though we're talking about spiritual war, oh, demons, the enemy, right? We're talking in a context of, no, the God that we serve, yes, fights those demons, but always wins, right? The God that we serve, he fights our battles, in fact, because he loves us so much. He's a loving father who protects his children, and I will always be his child. And so, you know, we know that he's a victorious King. We know that he's a loving father. We know that he's a mighty God who can destroy any works of the enemy. We know he's a healer, you know, when it comes to the spiritual war, in terms of sickness, in terms of even emotional unwellness. God can heal those emotions also, that heartbreak. And I'm not joking here. Sometimes people joke about heartbreak. I know it's a real thing, and I acknowledge that it can be part of spiritual warfare. God is victorious over all of those things. God fights for us, and the battle is the Lord's. The teacher, pastor, missionary, put one warning. Sabi niya, God refused to fight for the Israelites when they lived in blatant sin and disobedience. So we know the Israelites, Hebrews, God's people, you know, and they have gone through this cycle throughout the Bible story, that they were following God and everything went well for them because they followed God, and rightly so. Not that God is all about good works, but he rewards righteous behavior. And so for years and years, they serve God, they love him, they walk in his ways, and they're prosperous. And because they're so prosperous, they forget about God. And through the years, and sometimes through a generation or two, they forget God. And because they were living in blatant sin, now, you know, now they serve idols, now they intermarry, they disobey the law, they start to get into sexual immorality. And this is not just one individual Israelite for 1 year. This is like the whole, you know, a whole lot of them for many years. That's when God hands them over to invaders. That's when God allows them to be exiled. You know, that's when God allows calamity to come upon them. And not because he's a bad God or an unjust God, but precisely because he is just, and precisely because he loves us. He puts discipline into our lives so that we can remember, ah, that's right, serving God's way is the best way, and that's where we're going to be the most protected, the most prosperous, and you guys get the point. Now, we, as people living in 2019, need to live according to God's ways, not in blatant sin and disobedience. When we live in blatant sin, God may refuse to fight for us. He still loves us. He will protect us. He will not let he's not going to take away our salvation, you know, our ticket to heaven, our entrance into the kingdom of God, not just when we die, but even here and now. It's not going to revoke that, but he may allow certain forms of discipline to come on our lives. Now, a blatant sin struggle, I'm just going to digress a little bit. May side note ako, no? Blatant sin is different from sin struggle. And blatant sin would be, no, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to keep doing it because it feels good. And I have no repentance in my heart. I have no godly sorrow. And my inner man, even though it's struggling with the sin, still wants to struggle with the sin. You know, sin struggles are different. Sin struggles will be, Lord, in my inner being, in my spirit, I really don't want to do this anymore. It's just really, really hard. You know, there, I know Christians who are very, very solid in the word, you know, who struggle either with smoking, right, or with masturbation, you know. I'll just go right ahead and say it, like, right, there are people out there, really Christians, who struggle with all these different sins. Sometimes they struggle with cheating, with peer pressure. Oh, I gave in again, you know, I went out with my friends to places where they didn't, you know, they did really bad things. And I'm taking too long on this digression, but these are still solid Christians who confess right after. They go to their friends, their Christian leaders or even pastors, say, oh, I did it again. It's so hard. Ang hirap. I don't want this anymore. I want to get rid of this smoking habit. But sometimes my body, my flesh, just keeps pulling me towards it. And then there's prayer, there's genuine repentance, and there's that call in the inner being, that cry out to God, God, I don't want this anymore. It's so hard, but can you please help me? I don't want this anymore. And that's where, you know, that's a whole other branch of theology that we can talk about. I'm not an expert on it, so I'm not going to talk about it, but there's a difference. So if you're struggling with sin right now, don't automatically categorize yourself as living in blatant sin. Basta may heart ka pa rin of repentance and may godly sorrow ka pa rin. And yeah, I encourage you, get help, stay in discipleship, right? As we talked about earlier, stay with godly men and women who can keep you accountable and pick you up when you fall down. God is a loving father. He's not a punishing master to a slave, you know? That's what the Bible says. And when a father's kid falls down, right? He picks up that kid. Yo, you know, that was a mistake, but no, keep going. I'm here with you. I'm cheering you on. Keep walking one step at a time. I'm right here. As long as you're not blatantly rebelling. I'm going around in circles. Let's go to point number two. So first was knowing God as the first step to victory. And second was knowing yourself. Sabi niya, the teacher, no? Sabi niya, the human person is divided into three parts. And this is a biblically, not really debated upon, but discussed topic. No? Kasi some people believe that we are a spirit, a soul, and a body. Three parts in the human person. And some believe that biblically, we're just a spirit soul, or a spirit, or just a soul. Basically, that's one thing. And then the body, which is two parts. She believes in the three parts. I don't have a logical conclusion or solid research to make my own belief, but let's stick with the three parts for now. If you believe differently, that's fine. But sabi niya, the battle for the believer is mostly in the soul. So when the Holy Spirit resides in us, there's a part of us that is completely surrendered to His will. There's a part of us that's completely clean because the Holy Spirit is there. And then that's the spirit. So there's the spirit, and then there's the body, which is sometimes, you know, expressed as the flesh in the Bible. And as we talked about earlier with the smoking thing and whatever, right? That's the part of us that sometimes pulls us towards sin. And not that the body is bad. The body is made in the image and likeness of God. The thing is, we have sinful nature inside of us. And the battle for the believer is mostly in the soul. The battle is in the soul. So the soul is comprised of the mind, the will, the emotions, the heart, right? And that's where we make a choice. Some people believe that they can't make a choice. And, you know, my whole point is, when we know ourselves, we gotta know first that there is a battle. Some people don't recognize that there's a battle at all within them. Some people feel like, I'm just a slave to this, you know, or I just have to do this. That's just the way of life, you know, the fact that I'm getting all of these negative thoughts or I'm doing these things, right? It's just my friends, you know, or it's just peer pressure, or I don't know, it's just my anxiety or depression, right? And surely enough, there's the medical side to that, but at the same time, there's a battle within us, in our soul, for us to take every thought captive in obedience to Jesus Christ, as I mentioned in the last podcast. And so we got to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. Okay, that really captures the mind, the spirit, soul, body part. But the rest of the knowing yourself part, no, according to the teacher, was we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. You listening right now, because you are a Christian, because you believe in Jesus Christ, because you love Him, because you cling on to God, even though sometimes you forget about Him, but once you made that prayer, you made that commitment, no, you know, even though I make mistakes, there, my overall, my inner being is going to submit to God. Now you are a son or a daughter of God. Now you have every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now you are loved, you're accepted, you're valued, and in the context of spiritual war, you are protected. Diba? You are cleansed from any condemnation the enemy can bring at you. You know, you don't have to submit to any of his accusations. You know, Pauline, my girlfriend, gave this really nice illustration. No? When we were sinful and we didn't submit to Jesus, we were like street dwellers, scavengers, squatters living on the streets, right? And we didn't have God's every spiritual blessing. And God, just because He's such a good God, through Jesus Christ, He opened the way for us to live with Him, to live in His mansion, to live where it's beautiful, there's free Wi-Fi, there's a nice garden, sarap ng kama, may aircon, I don't know, lahat, there's warm water for taking a shower. And sometimes the enemy, Satan, right, the devil, will whisper into our ears and say, "De, squatter ka pa rin. You weren't born in this family. You know, you're ampon ka lang," you know? And those accusations, because we know our identity in God, we know our identity through Jesus Christ, through His sacrifice, through the blood, we can always remind Satan, "Hindi, I am adopted and I'm officially part of His family. And you are the one who is going to the pits of hell. You are the one who's going to burn and suffer forever because you rebelled against God. Me, because I'm submitting to God, I'm completely protected. You have nothing on me." So we belong to God as a co-heir, as co-heirs with Christ Jesus. We are sons and daughters. We are loved as such. And we got to recognize that we have a beautiful identity in Jesus Christ, in God. But we also got to recognize that we have authority in Jesus Christ. In Luke 10 verse 19, it says, "Jesus has given us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing in any way will harm you." I'm not going to talk about the providence of God and that doctrine of why people still get sick, why people still get cancer, whatever. But, you know, let's say there are natural, a very simple way to think about it. Maybe it's simplistic, but that's an easy way to explain. And I'm not going to delve deeper into theology, no. But there are spiritual reasons for sickness, and then there are physical reasons for sickness, is the easy way to put it. That sometimes it's a spiritual attack. And I know stories of real people, my cousin actually, and even Joaquin, no, my little brother. There were times when he got sick, and we know it's because of spiritual attack. And we prayed for healing, and he got healed instantly. And there are also times where it's really just a physical thing. Either it runs in the family, or the person really caught the sickness because he was in this environment, this place. And anyway, my point is, for spiritual warfare, we have authority to heal. We have authority to cast out demons. We have authority to cast out fear, to cast out depression and anxiety. We have authority to even tread on serpents and scorpions, literally even. And that's the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. Because He defeated sin and death, He defeated the devil, and He defeated all the powers of darkness. And we claim that power in Jesus Christ because He offers it to us. And we have victory over evil thoughts. We have victory over bad emotions, right? And our position is now seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. And I believe it's something that personally, I guess in my context growing up, I didn't really talk about as much, but you see it so much in the Bible. What am I talking about? I'm talking about praying for healing, right? Blessing people. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree, right? And it started to bear fruit, or it stopped bearing fruit. Now, the thing is, Jesus is the king over the world. When he was crowned with a crown of thorns when he was lifted up on the cross. That was kind of his enthronement. You know, the Bible describes it as that was the pinnacle of his servant kingship, right? And that's when he took away all the power of sin and death. And because he's king and authority over all the world, we have not just authority to defeat the enemy, but authority to even bless and to even heal. You know, the Bible talks a lot about in the book of the Acts, and the times when Jesus sent out the 12, sent out the 72, he gave them authority to heal and to herald that the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's where we are now. There's more to talk about there, but never hesitate to pray for healing for people. Never hesitate to pray for blessing or fruitfulness for people, to pray for provision for people, because that's part of our spiritual warfare also. Our spiritual warfare is not from a place of defeat or a place of, oh, it's good and evil battling forever. No, it's a place of victory. We already won. And so all we got to do is express that victory in terms of, yes, defeating the enemy, but even more, I think we should be more engaged with blessing people. Right, with being generous, with praying for people, praying for security and safety for people, with preaching the gospel, right, sharing our stories of how God is so good to us. Yon. Still point number two, no, knowing who we are. We have weapons, and you can look at this more yourself if you want, but I think I discussed this in my last podcast. We have the armor of God, as it says in Ephesians 6. Yung teacher described covenant relationships as a weapon, which I really like that concept. No? Brotherhood, sisterhood, accountability, comrades, soldiers, co-heirs. When you're with a lot of people, you notice, no? It's sort of like, and I was talking to my Christian friends about this just like 2 days ago. It's like everyone, all your Christian friends are hot coals. And when you gather together, you feel hot and on fire. On fire for God, on fire in the Spirit. And when you go away from them, especially for a long time, it's like one hot coal is removed from the pile and easily cools down. No? And just being with other people who believe in God and really talk fervently and passionately about Him just refuels and rekindles your passion. So that's how covenant relationships can be a weapon. But in terms of more direct spiritual warfare, there's also the name of Jesus. There are a lot of stories, no? And I'm not going to glorify the demons here. I'm just saying when there are attacks and we have the authority and the victory already, all you got to do is, you know, in Jesus' name, I've got authority over you. What does that mean, no? It means like, let's say you have house help, right? And yung kasambahay mo, you need them to do something. But you're still just a kid. You're still just like 7 years old. And, hey, can you get the laundry? And why? You're just a kid. You can't command me to do anything. You have no power over me. And then, sabi ni daddy, diba? And you say something like that. Sabi ni mommy. And you use their name, you use their authority to ask your kasambahay to do something. And that's not the best or most politically correct illustration, but that's how the name of Jesus works. It's because I am a co-heir with Christ, because Jesus died for me, because I am washed in His blood and I am clean and I belong to God, through the authority that Jesus has, that is bestowed upon me also, I command you, demon, get out. I command you, sickness, get out. That's what we mean when we say in the name of Jesus. Siyempre, we don't want to just say Jesus, Jesus, and we don't know what it means when we use the name of Jesus. There's the blood of Jesus, which is a symbol of life, which is a symbol of God washing us clean so the enemy has nothing on us now, which is a symbol of Jesus' victory over the enemy. So when we claim, you know, I'm washed by the blood of Jesus. Anyway, I'm not going to ramble too much, but oh man, dude, there's so much to talk about. It's so amazing. The word of my testimony, you know, the word of his testimony. It's, sabe, I think it's in Revelation, I'm pretty sure. I just forget where exactly. But they defeated the enemy by the blood of Jesus and the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, I think. And the word of our testimony is basically when we make cuento to our friends, when we tell them stories of, you know, God was so good to me today. Even just by simple acts, you know, I was praying for provision and he gave me provision. I was praying for headphones, and you know, a friend of mine lent me his headphones. To sabi niya, arbor mo na lang yan, di ba? Even those little acts, but also, you know, telling people the story of, yeah, I used to be super heartbroken. I used to be super chick boy. You know, I used to be into all of this sin, and God rescued me. All those testimonies throughout the whole spectrum is a weapon. When we say it, we are breaking spiritual powers in the lives of other people and around us. So we got to be vigilant. We got to be aware of our weapons. And that caps off point number two. We're at 24 minutes. What in the world? Okay, number three, no? Know the enemy. And I'm going to try to keep the emphasis on points one and two and not on points three and four. That's why there's an order. And, syempre, we don't want a super long podcast also. If you guys want, then just email me or tweet me and give me that feedback. But I don't want to make it super long. Pero sabi nga ni Sun Tzu, I don't know how to pronounce it, the one who wrote The Art of War, right? It's super duper essential to know your enemy when you're battling. You can't just know your strengths in your victory, but have no idea of who the enemy is, because you won't be able to recognize an attack and you won't be able to know the best way to counterattack. So here are some ways that the enemy attacks us, no? Spiritual warfare. He's a deceiver. I think beyond anything else, Satan is really a deceiver. Satan is a master of deception. And this is not to scare anyone, because we come from a position of victory. We already win in Jesus Christ. And I know I keep saying this, but I got to emphasize it. But Satan has been around for millennia, right? He's been around for years and years and years and years and years. And he has seen history unfold, and he has been a big part of it. And he knows all of the schemes and all of the ways to lie and deceive you and change your mindset into something that's not healthy for you, not healthy for the people around you, etc., etc. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that if we as human beings, if Nate Punzalan alone without the power and authority of Jesus Christ goes against Satan, I'm going to be, you know, smothered to pieces. I don't know if that's grammatically correct, right? But I'm going to lose right away. I'm going to burn. And that's why we gotta recognize, no, Satan is a formidable enemy. He is the small g god of this world. And he's described in the Bible as the prince of the power of the air as well. And so he has some sort of earthly, worldly royalty. And when we recognize that, yes, he likes to deceive, right? He likes to tell lies. That's why the truth, right? I talked about this last podcast, but the truth is our weapon. He likes to intimidate. He likes to accuse us. Squatter ka pa rin, right? Ampon ka lang. You did the sin yesterday, and God will never forgive you. Yeah, that's accusation plus deception plus lies, because God does forgive. Isolation is another one of his techniques. He likes to take us away from other Christians so that we don't hear the truth from them. And isolation, even from our quiet time, even from our time spending reading the Word, ayun, that's when you'll have a vulnerable Christian. That's still going to be a Christian who is welcome into the kingdom of God, still a son and daughter of God. But because he's making no effort to hear the truth, to spend time with other Christians, to, you know, covenant relationships, right, is a weapon, or to spend time with the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, is also a weapon. Ay, wala, you're so isolated, you don't have any weapons. The enemy can easily deceive you and give you thoughts that are going to be in disobedience to Jesus Christ. Syempre, temptation also, right? Sin is, I like to think of it as spiritual kryptonite. And there's a pastor in the States, his name is John Bevere, if I'm not mistaken. He also likes to call sin spiritual kryptonite. It blocks a lot of blessing and a lot of intimacy with God, and blocks a lot of power in our lives also, just because of that impure living. But when we live righteously, right, that's extra power in our lives. So there's temptation. So we got to remember that pleasure in God has no bad consequences, as opposed to pleasure in sin, which it feels good for the time being, but there are bad consequences. If it's not immediate, then it's going to happen in the future. if it's not seen, then it's an unseen consequence. Less, you know, power in your life, maybe even withheld provision in your life. There are spiritual consequences, guys. Condemnation, similar to accusation, but, you know, Romans 8 says, not in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And distraction, man, our smartphones. Am I right, guys? You know, just scrolling through Facebook, scrolling through, I don't know, Twitter, Instagram. And, you know, as a guy, like, I'll be honest, like, scrolling through Instagram and it's almost summer and there are all these girls in skimpy outfits, right? I gotta stop, you know, sometimes I gotta mute accounts like that, even if they're my friends, just because I wanna guard my mind. And I'm not trying to be legalistic, I'm not trying to be talking about taboo things right now, but yo, we gotta guard our minds. These are distractions that are gonna distract us from staying with the truth of Christ Jesus, taking pleasure in the things of God instead of the things of man. And to all the men out there, I want you to stand up for what's right, even when you're alone in your room just scrolling through your phone, okay? Cool. And so those are the different schemes of the enemy. There's so much more. Not gonna go through it all because of time. But again, we gotta be aware that there's a moment of choice. This is what the pastor said. No? There's a moment of choice when we choose to accept accusation, choose to accept condemnation or intimidation. We choose to believe the deception or the lie. We choose to fall into temptation or into distraction from the things of God. We gotta be aware of this moment of choice, and that is where the battle is won. So we take captive every thought in obedience to Christ, and whenever we don't feel like it, we still bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, worship His holy name. That's the context of the psalm that David was saying. You know, I don't feel like blessing the Lord, but my soul, bless the Lord, worship His name. There. That's point number three, knowing the enemy. Knowing the battleground is point number four. It's not as important as knowing God, of course, and knowing our identity in Jesus Christ. But there's the battle within. There is the battle within every Christian where our sinful nature and our spirit clash. There is this old story, right, of the two wolves, right? It's some sort of, like, I think American Indian father who's telling his son the story of the two wolves battling inside of him. There's one that's good, one that's bad. Oh, which one wins? The one that you feed. So are you going to feed your sinful nature with more sin and make it stronger? Or are you going to feed the spirit and always think of things that are of God, things that are pure, righteous, praiseworthy, right? And that's killing our flesh, as it says in Romans 8. Romans 8 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It's a lot of spiritual warfare, a lot of promise for the future. There's a bunch of, like, there's no more condemnation, like, solid gospel message in it. Identity as sons and daughters of God. Lahat. A lot of it is there. So Romans 8, guys, if you want a quiet time chapter to read, talks about killing your flesh also there. And so, yes, we have an old sinful nature, but we have the Holy Spirit with us. So that's the battle within. Other resources will include Romans 7, verse 5, Ephesians 4, verse 22. And remembering the whole battle within our spirit, soul, and our body. And the soul, our emotions, our will, our mind, our rational thinking, and the moment of choice, when we make that choice. And then there's the battle without. So, there's the world, there's what's called the cosmos, and there is this concept. I haven't studied it very well, but I just heard of it in the last few days from a friend. The egregore, which is an occult term for the groupthink. What do you call it? Parang the culture of how everybody thinks, which is essentially a way that the devil has deceived everyone. Kunyari, very simple example, and I'm not completely sure of my accuracy on this, but just for enrichment, The Little Mermaid, could have been Kingdom of Darkness propaganda, like Hollywood propaganda. And people say a lot about this, talk a lot about how, oh, McDonald's is Satanist, yung mga ganun, di ba? Thank God we have resistance. Thank God we have the truth. Thank God it's not sinful to watch The Little Mermaid. But you look at the context of a loving father who is the king of a beautiful, amazing kingdom with lots of riches. And, you know, like practically the oceans are twice the amount of land, right, on the earth. So it's so rich. But she wanted to leave her father's good kingdom. And the dad was a good man, right? That's prodigal son story right there, without the going back to the father, going back to the ocean. Well, kind of, but I don't know. That is following your heart, following your emotions when, you know, the truth might say otherwise. Sabi nga sa Bible, diba, the heart is deceitful above all things. What that means is, like, the sinful nature in our emotions and being led by our emotions that way can be really deceitful and plant a lot of lies in our mind. So things like The Little Mermaid that deceive a large group of people, not to sin outright, but there's that inception of an idea being planted into their mind, right? That counts as part of the spiritual warfare that's going on in the world. John 16 verse 11 describes Satan as the small g god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. The world hates Jesus. The world has its own wisdom. The world brings definement. I'm reading from the notes. The world has only worldly sorrow, but not godly sorrow. And the world presently is ruled by darkness. So if there are a lot of mindsets going on, you know, out there, excuse me, in the world that don't align with God's truth, and it seems like it's a mindset that everybody's doing, like corruption in the Philippines, kickback, you know, under the table deals, and it's a social sin that's so hard that parang if you don't pay, right, if you don't make padulas, iipitin ka. And sometimes, you know, it depends on your own conscience and what, you know, but there are just really, really hard things that's going on in the world today, that it's social sin, social structures, that you won't be able to even move forward. So we gotta fight against the world system. We gotta stop complaining about our government. And in my last YouTube video, I said, we gotta start praying for our government. So we're not supposed to submit to the system of the world. We gotta let Jesus transform the culture and advance the kingdom of God in culture. When we're generous with people around us, when we pray for a poor person, right? We recently did this, and me and my friend, like, we were walking along the streets of Ortigas, and there was this scavenger eating cake from the CBTL trash bin, right? And we just had to go up to him, give him something so he can buy something to eat, and pray for the guy. We ended up talking about Jesus, actually, for an hour. And I'm not trying to flaunt, you know, my own achievements, but that's an example of how we can advance the kingdom of God in culture. And there's, you know, she ended her class with a teaching of a table. Sorry, I'm starting to lose my train of thought. Wait lang. I'm about to end. She had this table of, on one end, it's the battle. On the other end, it's the weapon. So if the battle is the flesh and the battle is temptation, our weapon is to crucify the flesh through rapid repentance and obedience. If the battle is the world system and ungodly culture, our weapon is our holy and righteous testimony and our influence with other people. I don't want to get into politics, but I just want to commend my personal friend and the person that my dad has been mentoring since kids church, and I know this guy really holds on to God. Vico Soto, he's running for mayor in Pasig, and the Eusebios are the Eusebios are a long-standing family dynasty, a political dynasty, and I've lived in Pasig all my life. So like this guy, I've known him since he was a kid, since I was a kid. He's few years older than me. He's standing for what is right. He's trying to run for mayor of Pasig City and get rid of corruption there. Do your own research. I'm not saying you gotta vote for him, but I'm saying, dude, if you wanna do your research, that guy is a solid, solid Christian, and he has, he's gonna change a lot of things, I hope, no? That's one way. And then the last thing on the table was outward manifestation of demonic power and activity. If that's the battle, and it's legit, like, demonization. Some people say possession. That's a different discussion because you can never really be owned or possessed by the enemy when you're owned by God already. But yung mga ganong manifestations of the enemy, our weapon is to walk in humility and submission to God, and then resist and rebuke through our spiritual weapons in Christ Jesus, including the name of Jesus, saying it out loud, remembering the word of God, especially verses like 1 John 4:4. He who is in me, who is Jesus Christ, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world, which is you, Satan. You know, Jesus Christ who is in me is greater than Satan. And hang out with more believers together, right? And yeah, she ended with this quote, no? Master the art of hiding, meaning master the art of hiding under the shadow of God's wing. Having that confidence that, you know, if the enemy attacks me, ay, lagot ka sa papa ko. Daddy, oh, he's messing with me, oh. You know, you call out to God that way as your with your confidence in being a son or daughter of God. Ay, lagot ka sa papa ko, diba? I love that attitude. Patay ka, you know. My dad's gonna stand up for me. He's gonna fight for me. And if we win that battle, the battle of the secret place, the battle of our quiet time, the battle of knowing God, before anything else, knowing God, that's my first point, then for sure we're going to win the spiritual battle within and without. Cool, 40 minutes. I hope you guys enjoyed this super long podcast. I have a lot to say. You know, you will have already found that out by now. I have a lot to say about spiritual warfare. If you're going through something, do not stay alone in this battle. Do not let yourself fall into isolation. That's the weapon of the enemy. If you're still here right now, listening to this podcast, then thank you for your support. Yes, number one. But also, secondly, dude, just text one of your close Christian friends, right? Text your leader. Ask to hang out. Get as close to them as possible. Learn from them. Learn from your pastor. I'm not the expert here. I'm just here to encourage you. But also, if you want to ask for extra special advice, if you have extra special feedback, feel free to email me, natepunzalan@gmail.com. I don't mind. I'm not gonna post myself as the one who's gonna answer all your questions, the one who can give perfect advice, or the one who can go to you personally and pray for you personally. But I'll be here where I am praying for you. Yeah, okay, bye. Okay, fine. I'm putting the recording back on. Now, let's pray first. Lord God, in Jesus' name, for the person who is listening right now, for the person who is listening right now at this very moment, I pray that you would protect that person, that you would keep that person safe under the shadow of your wing. You would deepen your intimacy with this person right now listening. That you would show this person how much you love and value this person, and how much you want this person to claim his or her victory in the spiritual war. Thank you that he or she already has victory. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the spiritual weapons. We claim that victory, and we don't claim defeat. We push back all the works of the enemy, and we recognize that although he's doing a lot, our God is stronger. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.